Hey, I think, what's that? You have this, honk the horn? Oh, yeah. I think we can get started here. We'll start off with a word of prayer, first of all. Father, I thank and praise you for the day now. We thank and praise you for this time that we can gather together like this. We thank you, Father, for this day that's set aside where we come and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we praise you for just all things that you've done for us this week. We thank you, Father, for the health that you've given to us all here now. We thank you for the breath of life that you've given to us here, Father, that we can be here just today here once again to hear your word and to learn it. I ask, Lord, that you would just let your Holy Spirit just take full control and that your Spirit would just speak through me and speak through the pastor there, Father, as his message that he has prepared for us also. And help us to learn more about you, Lord. That's what we're here for, Father, to learn about you, to learn about heaven, to learn about just the things there, Father, that you have for us. We thank you for your word and for all the aspects of it. And we thank you, Father, for the studies that we've been having here, Father, on the Wednesday nights there, Lord, about studying to show ourselves approved to be a workman for you. So we just ask, Lord, that you would just continue to guide and direct us that way and teach us there, Father. Help us to be open to your word. We praise and thank you for just all things that you do for us. Guide and direct us throughout this day now. In your name we pray. Amen. There's no institution more vital to our nation's survival than the American family. Here the seeds of personal character are planted, the roots of the public virtue first nourished. Ronald Reagan said that. And how true that is. It's the American family. And that's what we're going over, the family. We're learning some things here about the family. I started it off last week of leadership. How to lead so your family will follow. And got to thinking about this here, and I got to back up just a little bit here. I'm thinking about this thing, this word leadership here a little bit. If you want to, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll get there in a few minutes. But thinking about this word leadership here in a bit, and just as we know here, our leadership, everything rises or falls on leadership, Dr. Robinson used to say. And everything does fall and rise on leadership. Look at our president. Look at our nation that we have today. Look at the people that he looks to ask questions about how that he's to lead. You got that Harry Reid. How arrogant a person is he? You got that Nancy Pelosi. Why is he even asking her any questions? She's dumber than a stick. I don't care. I'm going to just put it out here. Maybe they got the airwaves going on there now. They're checking me out. She's dumber than a stick, okay? All right. But anyhow, let them come after me. It's fine. But, you know, we need leaders. We need a leader. We need a leader of this country to lead this country. We need somebody in a party once that's going to lead this country instead of wanting to do the things that they're trying to do. Leaders, someone that's going to lead. You have that. You have this all around you today, you know, leadership. Men, it's your responsibility to lead your family. It is your responsibility to lead your family. How are you going to lead your family so they're going to follow? Timothy here, Paul. Paul was a spiritual leader. He was leading Timothy. Look at all the different things that he wrote in the Bible. He was leader. This is the dispensation of grace that pastor's talking about. One of the things I believe that is being set up during this time of dispensation of grace is leadership. Paul was a leader. Look at all the ones that he wrote to here. Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Timothy, Titus, all of them, everybody, Romans, Corinthians. He wasn't afraid to say to lead whenever the time came. He wasn't afraid to tell the Corinthians, "You're doing wrong. Do right." That's what a leader does. Men, that's what you do in your family. You're to lead. You're to tell them. You're to show your kids if they're doing wrong or if they're doing right. You're to lead them. You're to guide them. You're to help them. You're to show them. That's the idea of it. That's what a leader does. He leads. He leads in the right in the right things, in the right paths. That's what Paul here is trying to do. Paul took over. He said in Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:2, he says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." He took him over. Paul learned a lesson. Paul couldn't, I don't think he had patience with John Mark. And Barnabas, I think, took Paul aside and taught him patience, you know. And then he took in this young Timothy. He took in this young Titus. Look what he says in Titus there, chapter 1, 2. He does the same thing. He took him in as his own son. Which verse was it that I just read here? He says in verse 4, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith. He took him in as a son to lead him. To show him the different, to show both of these guys the different things that they were supposed to do. Did Timothy mess up sometimes? Yeah, he did. Did Titus mess up sometimes? Yeah, he did. But Paul was patient, I believe, with them. Your kids, be patient with your kids. Men, learn patience. We need that. We men need that. We need to learn patience. Be patient with your kid. You can't take a dog the first time and say, sit, speak, sit up. Give me your paw, shake. You got to work with that dog. The same way with your kids. Your kids aren't dogs, but the same way with your kids. Be patient with them. Teach them. Here's how you milk the cow.
Corb.
You know, here's what you do. And you're the leader of this. You it's leadership. You lead them. You know, you teach them. It's just like you ones with the older families. And this is what I got with some reading some of these books that I've been reading about some of these people that had big families. They took the older child, and the older child was responsible for the next child down and the next child down, etc., etc. And what were you doing? They were teaching them leadership. You know, not to correct them, but to help them. Help them get dressed. Help them to do this. Help them to do that. If I'm wrong, Pastor, you tell me if I'm wrong. But I take it, and I never said nothing, but I take it that when Elizabeth was born, she's the firstborn, but as the other kids came along, I think you gave her responsibility a little bit to help those other kids. It just seems like that to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that she helped to take care of the other kids as they were growing up. A lot of times they take the firstborn and they do that. But it's not just the firstborn. You know, if you have more and more kids, you just pass it on down. And you're teaching them leadership. That's exactly what you're doing. You're the leader and you're teaching them leadership. As when they grow up and have their families, what you're looking for, that they will do the same thing. You're passing it on down the line. You know, just as the pastor here is the leader of this church, you know, he needs to lead. He needs to direct. He needs to guide and direct. And that's just what the most of the qualifications here that I'm going to be reading, which I read them already, but the most of the qualifications here on leadership is character. You got to have character to have leadership. Yes, you got to have a little bit of skill. You got to have a little bit of knowledge. But you got to have some character. You got to have character to be a leader. That's what's lacking in our society today, is character in leadership. Dan, when you're at work, you have people under you. You're trying to train them. Is some of them a little difficult to train? I'm sure. There's probably times where what hair you have left on your head, you wish you could rip it out, you know. Just because of that, you know, that's the thing. It's leadership, you know. It's got to be leadership, you know, a leader himself. So that's what Paul here is trying to show Timothy. Now, let me read this here to you. I read it to you last week, but 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll go over here. He says, this is a true saying, 1 Timothy 3, 1. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop is an overseer. That's what the word means, an overseer. Gentlemen, aren't you an overseer of your family? It's the same thing. And that's why we're taking it, and that's why we're going with this here. He says, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetousness, but one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Same thing here. He taught Timothy this. He was teaching him the qualifications of church leadership and things like that of a church leader. Because Timothy was the leader of Ephesus at this particular time. He was the pastor there at that church of Ephesus that he was trying to establish there, and he was teaching him some of the things. Same way with Titus here. Titus was he gives him some instructions here because he went to Crete, the little island that's off the coast there and stuff, into Crete, and he was starting a church there, and he had Titus here do the same thing. Starting in verse 5, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." That doesn't make that. I mean, that's not my house. They are rioted and unruly all the time when they come. So you see, I couldn't be that because my kids are just rioting all the time. No, but this is what I'm saying here. He says, having faithful children, gentlemen, it's your job, it's your responsibility to teach them faithfulness. Did you bring them to church this morning? You bring them Wednesday nights. You bring them Sunday nights and stuff. That's faithfulness. That's what you're teaching them, to be faithful to it. Same way with a job at home, to be faithful. You got to. This is the way it is. You've got to go out there. You got your chores to do. You got to do them. You make them do them. That's faithfulness. You're teaching them something. That's leadership. You're leading them. He says, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon to anger, not given to wine, nor striker, nor given to not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. See, it's the same thing there. You learn the word of God. You teach your children the word of God. It's the same thing here as a bishop. You say you're crazy for using this. No, I'm not, because you are the bishop. You are the church leader. You are the spiritual leader at your home. And that's your responsibility, the leader of it. So the qualities here that we started off last week with that make a man a leader, and we only got over one of them here, but he said he must be blameless. He had to be blameless, just like Jesus Christ was blameless. They couldn't find no fault in him, you see. They accused him, but they couldn't find no fault in him. It's the same way that you and I need to be. If somebody accuses us of something, they find no fault in you. You're blameless, And that's what he says, that the man that makes a spiritual leader has to be blameless. That's what he's trying to show him here, has to be blameless. Okay, now we'll move on here because this is where we left off here. Now, he says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Let me give out some verses here instead of me reading them all the time. Pastor, Hebrews 13:4. Let me see. Dan, go to Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Hebrews 13:4.
Marriage is honorable in all, and is not undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Marriage is honorable unto God. The bed's undefiled, he says there. The husband of one wife. That's why he said it. That's what he set up. We went over this. One wife. He set it up for one wife. He said he would judge the rest of them. Let me see. What was that other one I gave? Matthew 5, 27 and 28.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
You see, men, you see the problem there? You see what happens to men? That's what happens to men. Number one, that's why women, you need to dress properly. I'm going to hit it right here on the toes. You need to dress properly. Number two, men, you see something you shouldn't, you've got to turn your head right away. You've got to. Or you have the problem right there. You didn't commit nothing, but yet God accuses you of it. So he does. So it's a tough situation. The pastor hit on that the other night. It's a tough situation for anybody, for all men. Man, it's a problem. You know, something about a woman that God put in us that, you know, that it's there. And you just have to be so very careful about it. So you do. So, you know, be careful. That's all I can tell you right at this present time. Be careful. Bob Jones Sr. said, if you ain't loyal, you ain't nothing. And how true that is. You're not. You're nothing, you know, if you're not loyal. You need to be loyal to your wife. You need, your first loyalty under God is to your wife. You must be true to her. Now, the big question is, how is it possible to do this in a corrupt society that we live in today? And I want to tell you what, this society is getting more corrupt than ever. I know when I was a kid, I cannot think of the corruption as it is today. With everything that goes on around us today. I mean, it's getting worse instead of better. And I believe, you know, it's coming towards the end times. That's the things that's going to be going on in the end times. Sin's going to get worse. Sin's going to get worse. And it definitely is. The devil knows he doesn't have a very long time anymore, so he's got to get as many as he possibly can to take with him to go to hell. So, you know, and that's what he does. Well, I have a few things here to look up here. How that you can get through this corrupt society. Corby, I want you to go to Ephesians 5:25. Nathan, go to 1 Corinthians 7:2-5. Van, go to 2 Timothy 2:22. Danny, go to Romans 13:14. And Chad, go to 1 Thessalonians 5:22. I'll stop there with them there. So the first thing here, I'll let you know when you're to read them. The first thing here I have down here is have a good relationship with your wife. Have a good relationship. Well, this corrupt society, they want you to not have a relationship with your wife. They want you to go out here and run around with the boys. They want you to go out here and bar hop and all kinds of stuff like that there. That's what they want you to do. They want to take that, the devil wants to take that relationship from your wife from you, you know. I'm not saying that any of you guys do that, but I'm just telling you, you know, this is what the society wants you to do today. This is the society around you. Look, most of you guys, you work out here someplace else. Think about it. Think about what the guys talk about all the time.
I'm going to have a beer tonight after work. Well, maybe I'll have two, you know. I got to stop at the bar for a little bit. How many of these guys, they want to earn big money, and yet they turn around and take that big money and they spend it on beer and stuff like that all the time. And then they want more. What sense does that make? What sense does that make? Matter of fact, there's times where I can't keep my mouth shut at work, and I tell them, I'm sorry, but I do, you know. What good is it? But anyhow, you need to have a good relationship with your wife. Ephesians 5:25.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Christ loves the church. He's putting a church together. He's putting his bride together right now. He loves it. He gave himself for it. And that's what he wants us to do. That's how he wants us to love our wives. 1 Corinthians 7:2-5. Paul set up a chapter on marriage, you know, and he talks about that a little bit. And he tells you, you know, the husband has no power over his body, but the wife has that power. The wife has not the power over her body, but the husband. And he puts up, that's why he made you one flesh. one flesh. You have that power over each other, you know. And you have that good relationship with one another. He says there, don't defile one another from it, you know. And if you do, it's only for fasting and prayer for a small time. You're to be separate from one another. Other than that, you're not supposed to be at all. He points that out there. He shows that to you. So you're to have that good relationship with your wife in this corrupt society that we live. The next thing here is stay away from temptation. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. 2 Timothy 2:22.
Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call the Lord out of pure heart.
Flee youthful lusts. You were young at one time, before you were even married. Flee them. Don't carry them over. Get rid of them. That's what he's telling you there. Romans 13:14.
But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Put on Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you're not going to let this flesh take over in your life. We're to follow after Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to follow after Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:22.
Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Abstain from it. Stay away from it. That's what we're supposed to do. Stay away from temptation. If you know you're tempted with something, stay away from it. Stay away from it. We got another one here about the mind here. We're going to go over in a second. But stay away from these temptations that you have. Men, you have temptations. Stay away from them. Don't be tempted from it. The devil's going to bring it into your mind. You know, stay away. Think of something else. You know, I'll get into that here in a second. But stay away. Stay away from temptations. The next thing here I have, keep close to God. Let's see. I left off with Ron. Let's see. 1 John 1:5-9. Keith, would you go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17? And Phil, would you go to Psalm 1:1-3?
1 John 1:5-9. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Most of you can quote them verses. You know them. You heard them. You know, and confessing your sin. You want to stay close to God? Confess it. Get close to him. Confess it. Confess whatever you did. You know, the best time to do it is right away, as soon as you've done it. Don't put it off. You put it off, the devil, he keeps coming to you. It's all right. It's okay. You don't have to worry about it. You know, that's what the devil does. Confess it right away. That way you can stay close to God. That way you're not, the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of you, you know, can still work on you, can still help you out. 1 Thessalonians 5:17.
Pray without ceasing.
Want to stay close to God? How's your prayer life? You know, it's tough. I know. It's tough. It's a tough situation. You need to establish a good prayer life. That's character. That's leadership. Establishing a prayer life. Psalm 1:1-3.
Law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
See that? To stay close to God? He tells you there. You follow these things, you're going to be like a tree planted by the river. You're planted. You're established. You know his word. You stay away from sinners. You stay away from the scornful. You stay away from them things. You keep close to God. Bibles that are falling apart belong to people who aren't. Think about that. Okay, here's the next one here. This is the one I wanted to get to. Keep your mind clean. Let's see, Gary. Proverbs 4:23. Ben. Philippians 4:8. Nate, I'm going to have you go to Psalm 119:9-11 then. Okay, keep your mind clean. You have to keep your mind clean. I know you have a battle. You have a battle that's in your mind all the time, constantly, gentlemen. I'm a man, you're a man. You know what it is. I know what it is. You got to keep your mind clean. You got to, instead of you trying to fight those wrong thoughts, start thinking of good thoughts right away. Start thinking of the good thoughts right away. And because you can't, yes, honey. You can't do two things at once. Us men can't do two things at once. When I read that, I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. My wife's going to be sitting in there and she's going to say, oh, yeah, I got him. But she's right. She's right. Us men can't do two things at once, but women can. Okay. But anyhow, I'm not going to get into it. but you can't do two things at once. So, you know, while these bad thoughts come, think of the good things. You know, and the bad thoughts will leave. Proverbs 4:23.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Mm-hmm. Philippians 4:8.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
What was that you're to think on? Did you hear that list that he read off there? Did you ever think of that verse? That's the stuff you're supposed to be thinking on to keep your mind clean. You know, he says that. You got to fill your mind with the right kind of things, that when the bad thoughts come, you have it. Memorizing scripture is great, you know. As soon as something comes that, you know, comes into your mind, get a scripture verse that you know and say it over in your head. You know, say it to yourself. Memorize it. You know, things like that there that help to keep your mind clean. It's tough. It's tough, gentlemen. We're on demand now, and it's tough. I know. It's just one of them things. I mean, we're being honest here about all this stuff. I'm not going to hide nothing from you. If I'm going to hide something from you, I'm going to go back there and sit down and let one of you teach. I'm not going to tickle your ear. You know, forget it. It's not going to happen. It's just the way I am. You know, you got to think the thoughts of God, not our own thoughts. Think how God thinks. And that's a tough one because he says his thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways aren't our ways. You know, we got to try to think the thoughts of God. Right here it is. He gives it to us, the thoughts. The thought process. Questions or comments on anything so far as I go on? Some of you have got some looks on your face like you got questions. Go ahead, Glenn.
I just kind of wanted to back up a little bit. Now.
Go ahead.
I don't want to knock you off track or nothing.
No, you're fine.
One of the things I've learned myself in working with people in the world, a lot of times we struggle as believers because, like you mentioned earlier, how they want to go hang out at the bar, they want to do this and that. In a lot of ways, a lot of ministries today try to get the world to conform to the gospel. But if I can draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, if you think about that, a lot of times we get irritated
or we don't want to have anything to do with people in the world, when in reality, they can't see what we see. It would be like a blind man coming into this church for the first time. He would have no idea where to sit because he'd have to find a chair. And he wouldn't know if he's sitting in the back, the front. Well, a lot of times when we interact with people, we come at it from a standpoint that we know it and they don't. Why don't they?
Mm-hmm.
That, in a way, should give us more compassion for them. I'm not saying go frequent a bar to get away, not at all. But at the same time, don't judge them for things that they're ignorant of, because they are living in ignorance. And God had to deal with me, because when I get saved, I used to do that. He said, oh, why don't they do this and why don't they do that? The reason why is because they can't see it. They don't understand. And Scripture does point out that we're the smell of death to those that are perishing. Okay? So bearing that in mind, that should make us more compassionate and more, and that does fit in with a leader. A leader should be compassionate. And I haven't been in my life raising my kids or with my wife. I was a wreck. But anyway, that doesn't negate the fact that that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be compassionate along with being a leader.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to see beyond and look at these things, see these problems, and say, well, why don't they understand? Has anybody told me? That's my 2 cents worth.
No, that's great, because that's a leader. That is a leader. Somebody out here, you know, the people don't understand it. You're trying to teach them. The same way with at my work. I mean, Chad was with me one day down in West Virginia. A guy started in asking us questions about the end times. Whoa, what a great opportunity! So I jumped on it. You know, I tried to tell him about, you know, what the Antichrist and everything that's going to happen and take place, the 7-year tribulation, the rapture of the church, and all that. That's you're trying to teach them. You see, the same thing as you're trying to teach your children. You're trying to teach the world out here too. Because you're right, they don't know. They are spiritually ignorant of all that. And they need to learn, you know, accept Christ as their Savior. And you know, that is one of the important things. But then teaching them, helping them to learn. Not too long ago, there was a young kid that was working with us. And he said, Obama's the Antichrist. And I thought, what do you mean? What's the Antichrist? You know, I asked the question, what's the Antichrist? Well, they can't answer, so that gives you an opportunity. You know, God puts them opportunities there. Take advantage of it. That's the way I look at it, you know. You don't always have to be the bold one and come out and start, because that's what makes them mad. But when they start it, whoo-hoo, then I can get my 2 cents in. I love that. You know, that's just it. You know, you're to be the example. You're to be setting the example. They know it. They know it at work. They know what you do, how you act. You know, do you blow up all the time just like they do and things like that there? Or do they finally come and ask you, what's different about you? Great. You asked me. Now I'm going to tell you. You know, I love it whenever that happens to me. You know, I try to take advantage of it the best I can. So, you know, that's right. Exactly right. Any other questions or comments on that? Leadership. That's what it's all about. Being a leader. Okay. Keeping the mind clean. Memorizing Scripture. Psalm 119, 9 and 11.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word
there it is. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You want to keep your mind clean? Hide God's word in your heart. It's there. We act as if things are so difficult, but God makes it so easy. Just do what he tells you. And you don't have the problems that come around here, you know, that you do have when these things happen and take place. Memorize Scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Next one. Work hard for God. Let me see. Glenn, go to 1 Corinthians 15:58 and Pastor, Proverbs 20:18.
Therefore, my beloved brethren,
Right. Working hard for God, you know, being steadfast, you know, sticking to it, staying with it, you know. You're not wishy-washy. When you're not something this day, something else the next day. You're sticking to it. You're sticking to it. The man who earnestly tries to do all he should will have no time for what he should not do. Proverbs 20:18.
Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war.
Look for counsel if you have problems. Ask. Don't be afraid to ask. A leader asks. How do you think a leader gets to where he is? How do you think Paul got to where he was? Paul got into some troubles. Paul liked to do a lot of reading and things like that. There, he learned. Paul learned. I'm one like Paul a little bit. I learn the hard way all the time. I wish that everybody could learn the easy way, but I got to learn the hard way. Mine is the hard way, you know. The hard will of Knox, you know. So, you learn the hard way. You learn the different aspects. Like ask counsel. That's the main thing there. That's the thought of it. Working hard for God, ask counsel, and you can get it. You can get the right counsel. I'm sure the pastor's always open all the time. You know, ask him. Go ahead, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's different ones that I hear, you know, preach the word of God, and I keep thinking, where in the world do they get all this? And then the one guy that I listen to a lot, I found out that it takes him 2 years, sometimes 3 years, sometimes 4 years before he puts something together. He's getting all the knowledge that he possibly can before he puts it together, and I think, wow. I mean, you got to have time to do that, you know. And I mean, when you're taking 2 and 3 and 4 years, you know, to put something together, you know, to preach to the people, it is. But that's right. That's exactly right. Leaders are readers. You know, you have to learn. I mean, we have the Word of God to learn from. You have there's lots of men out here that write good books, but there's, you know, you got to watch yourself. Be careful. You know, there's good stuff in them. There's bad stuff in them. Take the bad stuff. Put it aside. Keep the good stuff. You know, that's just the way it is. A good leader will do that. He can pick that stuff out, throw the stuff away that's no good. Keep the good stuff. You know, that's a good leader. One more here. We'll go over here. Let's see. I went to Pastor Dan. Go to 1 Peter 5:8-9. Corby, go to Mark 14:38, and Nathan, go to 1 Corinthians 10:12. Did I skip you the last time? Oh, okay. I thought I did. Okay. He must be vigilant, the Bible says here. He must be careful and alert. He's got to watch. You got to be careful. A good leader's got to watch what Satan has out here, how he can attack. You know, you got to be so careful, especially with kids, you know, and things like that. He can attack so easy, and you can overlook something, you know. And so that's why you got to be vigilant. You got to watch the attack that Satan has over yourself and then especially for your loved ones. A good leader watches for that kind of thing. He's got to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8-9.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing
So see, the devil, he's the adversary out here. He's looking. He wants you. He wants it. He wants to do whatever he can to make it look bad for you. What do you think that he's doing out here today with this here our government that's spying on everybody? What do you think that's all about? That's to bring you down. If something ever comes up with the IRS or anything like that there with you, he wants to bring you down. And they'll have something against you for it. Internet and all that. Telephones. You don't even know what to do anymore. Mark 14:38.
Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak.
Flesh is weak. Watch yourself, gentlemen. The flesh is always weak. Be careful what you do, because Satan's there. He wants you. 1 Corinthians 10:12.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
You think you know it all? You think you can stand it? Think you can take the pressures? Look out. You're a good candidate for the devil, that adversary. He wants you. He's going to take you down. Questions or comments? I've got to stop there on anything. Okay, Father, I thank and praise you for this day. We thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you, Father, for these qualities here, Father, that helps to make us a leader in the family, in the home. Help us to take these things to heed, Father. Not just to listen to them, but to practice it. And that we can work on it in our lives, in our families, in our homes. We praise you, Father, for your word and for all things of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.